This has to do still with the meal offering, but in a different context. And so in Exodus chapter 25, let's look at verse 23. And thou shalt make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. A cubit is 1.5 feet. And 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of 1 handbreadth round about. And thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are in the 4 feet thereof. Close by the border shall the rings be, for places for the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and the spoons thereof, and the flagons thereof, and the bowls thereof, wherewith to pour out, of pure gold shalt thou make them. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. Now we have the table, the verse 29, and the purpose of the table. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. And now, you have to turn to Leviticus chapter 24 to learn about that showbread. If I asked you, how are you to make this bread? What does it consist of? How much is it? We're not told until you get way over to the book of Leviticus. And so in Leviticus chapter 24, in the first 4 verses, we have instructions concerning the lampstand or the candlestick. And then in verse 5, we get specifications of the showbread. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 parts of 1 ephah shall be in 1 cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be to the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath day he shall set it in order before the Lord continually. It is on behalf of the children of Israel, an everlasting covenant. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we rejoice that thou hast begun to teach us how to live upon the words that proceed from the mouth of God. Thou art he who has given us such a spiritual appetite. At one time we cared for none of these things, but now we can say, perhaps in a smaller measure, with thy servant of old, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. We are thankful that we are called by thy name, that thou hast given us food for our souls, and this food is thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray as we sing that song, More About Jesus, that we shall, from the portion that we've read and the other portions that shall be brought to our attention, learn more concerning him. Break the bread of God to us as he broke it to the servants on the road to Emmaus. Prepare our hearts by thy Spirit to receive, to understand, to be clean, to be receptive. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Have you ever thought about how much bread and how often bread was eaten by the children of Israel as a whole and certain ones of a certain tribe of the children of Israel? For 40 years, that was the only food that God wanted to give them. They lusted after other things, and so God gave them other foods in addition to it. But as far as God was concerned, he had one thing to feed them for 40 years, and that was the Lord Jesus. Sad to say, if God had his way, there would be nothing but Christ in our diet. But just as in the matter of putting away wives, he said, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses suffered you. And at the same time, God wanted them to eat manna, but they lusted after other things. And God said, all right, I will give you quail, but perhaps you remember the outcome of that. But as far as God was concerned, he wanted the Christians to have a steady diet of manna. And the ones that loved God and loved the Lord Jesus, spiritually speaking, were quite satisfied with that diet. But the others said, our soul loathes this light bread. But God, after they entered the promised land, put an end to that manna that came down from heaven for 40 years. But he had that same truth signified in other ways, because every time the children of Israel ate bread in any form, it was signifying the same truth as their eating bread in the wilderness. Remember, grain, flour, meal, whenever you get this element, you'll find that it refers to either the Word of God, the Son of God, or the people of God. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. And the sower soweth the Word, the seed, that's the Word of God. The Lord Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, that's the Son of God. He said, I am the bread of God that came down from heaven, that is the bread of God. And you must remember this because it's most important. The bread is not only depicting Christ, and the grain not only depicting Christ, but it depicts his people as well. Because he's told us in the second parable in Matthew chapter 13 that a man sowed good seed in his field, and who are these good seed? The good seed are the sons of the kingdom. And so the people of God, seed, wheat, just as Christ is depicted as wheat. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10 that the loaf, we being many, are one bread, one body. And so the loaf of bread that you break, it symbolizes the body of Christ that bore our sins on the tree, but it also symbolizes his spiritual body. Now, we are the body of Christ. And so, remember these things, because when you read about bread, you're reading about food that God eats, that man eats, and that is telling us that when they eat it, it depicts the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we eat it, well, does it depict the same thing? We'll see. I told you about the 40 years in which they ate the bread in the wilderness, but after that, there were other times also that they ate bread. And they ate it every Sabbath day, because the table that had the showbread on it, every Sabbath day, it was taken off, replaced with 12 fresh loaves, and then Aaron and his son ate that showbread in a holy place. And when you have the feast of unleavened bread, they ate it day after day after day for a whole week. And then Aaron and his sons also ate bread whenever any Israelite brought a meal offering, because a handful went upon the altar, and the rest of it went to Aaron and his sons. And so God has determined that the truth of the believer feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ is never done away with. As far as he is concerned, he wants us to feed upon Christ our whole life long, in one form or another. If it's in the wilderness, it is the manna that comes from heaven. Once we get into the promised land, it's the old corn of the land, but that's beside the mark. That's apart from the subject that we are considering tonight, which is a particular form of the meal offering. But remember these things about it. I can't tell you all about them, but I want you to remember this about the meal offering, that at times the meal offering was eaten completely by God. Whenever the priest, and you'll find that they offered a special meal offering, when they offered that meal offering, it said, it is not to be eaten. And when it's put upon the brazen altar, it is God eating it. It's God's food. And when the fire consumes it, this is God eating it. And so if it were specifically the priest's meal offering, and they were commanded to offer it every day, it says that God ate all of that. But if it is the showbread, God ate none of it, the priest ate all of it. But if it were a meal offering brought by an ordinary Israelite, God ate part of it, and the Israelite ate part of it. Now, think through these things. I won't develop them tonight, but at times, God ate it all. At times, man ate it all. At times, it was food that was shared by God and man. But if God says, I want you to eat this showbread every Sabbath, then God is interested in our feeding upon something that he himself feeds upon every day. He feeds upon it by himself. If no Israelite ever brought any, God said, I have to have the meal offering upon the altar. God ate it every day. He wasn't dependent upon the caprice of the children of Israel saying, I think I'll bring a meal offering today. And it wasn't dependent upon whether you wanted it or not, but every Sabbath day, Aaron and his sons had to eat the meal offering, the showbread. And then when an Israelite did enter into the significance of having a meal offering, he would bring it, and God would get his handful with all the frankincense, and then Aaron and his sons would get the rest of it. And so God says, now at times, I want to feed on it when you're not feeding on it. And at times, even though you're not aware of it, I want you to feed on it. And then at times, I want you to understand that you and I both feed on it at the same time. This is delightful. To think that what is occupying my thought is occupying the thought of Almighty God. Can you conceive of such a thing? That God says, this is something that interests me. And if it interests God, and it's suitable food for God, certainly it's suitable food for us. And yet the children of Israel said concerning it, our soul loathes this light food. And because of that, God was determined about the meat, the physical sacrifices that were offered, that they could only be eaten for a short period of time, lest that meat become contaminated. No refrigeration, and the meat would become contaminated. And God said, you shall have no such conception of my son having corruption in him. It has to be eaten rapidly. And at the same time, God says, you're not going to eat Gibeonite bread, that is stale, musty loaves. God said, this bread has to be changed every Sabbath day. Now, I would personally like it fresher than that, but if God did not have it put on every Sabbath day, then the truth would be altered. And so there has to be some concessions made at the time. But God says it should be fresh every Sabbath day. And so keep this in mind for a while. And remember this. The meal offering that the Israelite offered that was eaten by God and man was placed upon the brazen altar. But the meal offering that the priests ate every Sabbath was never upon the brazen altar. It was upon the golden table of showbread. And so when you have the meal upon the brazen altar, this is Christ offering up his life to God on earth. But think now. You'll have to think. Here is the same offering, but it's offered on the brazen altar under some circumstances, and it is placed upon the table of showbread under other circumstances. And you say, well, you've told me that this meal is always Christ in some form, yes, but when it's offered upon the brazen altar, it is Christ in his life on earth. But this is not on the brazen altar out in the court. The golden table is within the first veil in the holy place, which is Jesus Christ our Lord in heaven. And so if they ate the meal offering that was upon the brazen altar, they were feeding upon our Savior's life as it was lived on earth. And when they ate the bread in the holy place that was upon the golden table, it is the life of Jesus Christ in heaven, which makes me hasten to give you the spiritual significance of that golden table. Each of the seven articles of furniture all depict Jesus Christ in his person, in his work, telling us something about him. But these articles of furniture are without significance and value and a full understanding and benefit to man until an animal or the specified elements are offered upon these articles of furniture. For instance, that brazen altar is worthless until blood is on it and until a sacrifice is on it. That labor is absolutely worthless until water is put in. And that golden candlestick is worthless until oil and wicks are put in it and it's lighted. And the golden altar of incense is worthless until incense is put upon it and then it ascends to God. And so until something is put upon these articles of furniture, we have the Lord Jesus Christ doing absolutely nothing. But give me meal or give me an animal, and I know exactly what Jesus Christ is doing. If you give me the meal offering upon the brazen altar, this is the life of Christ on earth. No bloodshed, the life of Christ on earth. And then give me an animal and have the bloodshed, this is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. This is the marvel that God can give us the furniture, and all the furniture is Jesus Christ in his ability. And in the brazen altar, it's the ability to pass the test of God's judgment by fire and to endure the wrath of God by fire. He is able to sustain all of the testings of God by fire, and he's able to sustain being made a curse by God that we might receive the blessing from God. That's what the brazen altar is. And when you get to the laver with the water in it, this is Jesus Christ in his ability to keep his people clean. You see, every time it is the person of Jesus Christ and some relationship to God or to man. And so when you come to the table, again, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get to the table, it says that you are to have bread before it, show bread upon it, before me always. Now, the word show bread means face bread. It is bread that was continually before the face of God, or the face of the bread was looking up to God, God's face looking down upon those 12 loaves or cakes of bread upon that table of show bread. And God said, it is to be before me always. It is never to be out of my sight. This is one of the continual, perpetual things. The light was to perpetually burn, but at the same time, the bread was continually to be upon that table of showbread. It's a golden table, but it's called the table of showbread because the bread of presence in the presence of God was there. Now, this is something that should be of interest to you. If I ask you, there's not one of you who could tell me, what was the amount of flour the offerer was to bring in Leviticus chapter 2 when he brought a meal offering? Tell me the amount that he was to bring. If you know, you know more than I do, because it's an unspecified amount, you see. Unspecified. It simply says he shall bring his meal offering, he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense upon it, and then he puts in his hand and gets out a handful and burns it on the altar, and all the frankincense goes on the brazen altar, but it doesn't tell us how much meal he brought. An unspecified amount. Therefore, I may bring a larger amount than you, because I may have a better comprehension of Christ than you do, and his life. You may bring a larger amount than I do, but at the same time, however much I may bring, still, the size of my handful is how much I can grasp, how much I can comprehend. And that's what's acceptable to God. Not what a man brings, but what he's able to comprehend. There are many people who can tell me many things about the Bible, can quote verses, and I ask, well, what does that mean? I don't know what it means, and so they don't have a grasp on it. But it's unspecified in Leviticus chapter 2. But in Exodus 29, we are told exactly how much is to be brought. How much was that? No. In Exodus 29, sorry, it is a specified amount. One tenth of an ephah of fine flour with a fourth part of a hin of beaten oil. Do you see? I didn't mean to catch you. I thought you were going to tell me. Forgive me. At times I would embarrass you, but not this time. It says a tenth part of an ephah of fine flour. Now, I mentioned that because a tenth part of an ephah of fine flour is an omer full. Now, unless you know all of these references, you're not going to be able to grasp this truth. But simply remember this, that in Exodus 16, he gives us this clue. He says that when the mammoth ceased, an omer full was to be gathered. And then it seems as if just out of nowhere he says, now, an omer is a tenth part of an ephah. And so when you have a tenth part of an ephah, it doesn't say an omer, but that is exactly the amount that was to be gathered day by day for each Israelite. They were to gather an omer full. And so the ordinary amount of food to sustain a man was an omer full, a tenth part of an ephah of fine flour. Unless you know that, then you won't grasp the significance of it. Unspecified in Leviticus 2, but in Exodus 29, specified when you have the continual burnt offering and the accompanying meal offering with it, a specified amount. And I won't give you the other amount, but I will give you this one. When I read to you in Leviticus chapter 24, I'll give you another chance. How much did each loaf contain? Two tenths part of an ephah of fine flour. Now, that's significant. Not unless you understood that in Exodus 29, the ordinary amount was one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour. But here we have two-tenths of an ephah, part of an ephah of fine flour. Twice as much in each cake of bread, loaf of bread, that was upon this golden table as Aaron and his sons offered day by day with a continual burnt offering. We'll see the significance of that, God willing, or at least think on it a little bit after a while. But now, I told you that each article of furniture is the Lord Jesus Christ, but when you put meal or an animal upon it, it takes on a different meaning. And when you put the burnt offering upon that brazen altar, that's the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself to God in its entirety. Man shall love the Lord his God with all his heart and soul and mind and strength, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself to God completely. But at the same time, it says in Galatians 2:20 that Jesus Christ loved me and gave himself for me. And so some of the offerings are emphasizing the fact that Christ gave himself up for the glory of the Father. And other offerings are emphasizing the fact that Jesus Christ loved me and he gave himself up for me. Just as when the meal is on the fire, it is God feeding upon his son. Whereas when the priests eat it, It is man feeding upon the same Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so at times, even though it is Christ and his death, at times it's for the glory of God, at times it's for the benefit of man. Well, in like manner, we have the meal at times, and God is eating it, and man is eating it. And so finally, you have this table, and as this brazen altar was the altar upon which Christ died for me, he loved me, and he gave himself for me. That's the altar where he loved me and gave himself for me, the way that I'm talking about it now. So, in like manner, this table of showbread is the Lord Jesus Christ and something that he's doing for me. Now, the brazen altar is on the outside. It's in the court of the tent of meeting. But the golden table of showbread is in the holy place, and God says, it shall be before me always. Now, if I were in the Holy of Holies, there would be a veil here, and you would be in the holy place. And then you have outside of that the courtyard. And you have the laver, and you have the brazen altar. That's outside. But in the holiest of all, you have the Ark of the Covenant, and then you have the veil. But even though the veil is there, God doesn't talk as if the veil were there. He said, you shall set that table of showbread before me always. Well, I would say, well, let me go inside the veil. No. He said, you set it outside the veil, but it's before me. That veil means nothing to God except symbolically, because as far as God is concerned, he understands about that veil. Someday perhaps I'll tell you the significance of it when the veil was rent, but God said, you set it before me always. And for that reason, if the table is the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is Jesus Christ in the presence of God, and inasmuch as you have 12 loaves of bread, that is we, the people of God, you have Jesus Christ in the presence of God for us. And so the table is emphasizing something that the Lord Jesus Christ is to us. And the Father constantly has his eye upon that golden table which is Christ and those 12 loaves or cakes of bread that are upon it. Now, I wonder why there might conceivably be the number 12 cakes of bread upon it. Do you think it might be because there are 12 tribes of Israel? Do you think that might be it? Well, of course, it has to be it. That's the significance of it. This is something that is thrilling to the heart, the way that God is showing us the children of Israel. Now remember, at times the children of Israel are the children of Israel to the exclusion of all others. At times they are representative of the people of God. And so here in the 12 loaves, we have Israel representing the people of God. At that time, they were Israel, the 12 tribes. There's no doubt of that. But now, they represent more than Israel to the exclusion of all others. They are representative of the people of God. And here they are. And here is the golden table, the table of showbread. And you have these 12 loaves of bread. And they are resting upon the table. What is holding up the bread? What is supporting that bread? What is the foundation of the bread? You say, elementary, that's the table. And that is the significance of the golden table. It is Jesus Christ, our support, our foundation. You say, put this bread on the table and man eats it. It is Jesus Christ, our food. Yes. You say, but that golden table is in the presence of God. Yes, it is Jesus Christ who is able to present us faultless before the face of his glory with exceeding joy. All of these things are illustrated in the table. Now, this is what it says. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the just, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And so here are these loaves of bread that were out in the world, and now these loaves of bread are brought into the presence of God, and God says, they're to be before me always. And so here we are, in the presence of God, and think, here is this table. Within the compass of that table, surrounded by its dimensions, are 12 loaves of bread. We're told this twice in Ephesians. It says, we are accepted in the Beloved. These 12 loaves of bread were inside the diameter of that table. They were in, and if the table is the Lord Jesus Christ, they were accepted in the Beloved, graced in the Beloved. And I told you they were in the presence of God, and it says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we have been raised up with Christ, and we have been made to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Isn't that remarkable? Here we are, loaves of bread taken out of the world, and now we're brought and we're made to sit with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's raised us up with Him, and He's made us to sit with Him in heavenly places, because the table is Christ and the bread is we, the people of God. And so we are in the presence of God in Christ Jesus. And the Lord is telling us all of these things by the location. And that is why at times, if I eat the bread that burnt upon the brazen altar, I am feeding upon Christ and His life on earth. But if I eat the bread upon the table of showbread, I am feeding upon the life of Christ in heaven. If I eat the bread upon the brazen altar, I am thinking of Christ and His life lived to the glory of God as well as for man. But when I eat the bread upon the table, then I am meditating not only upon the life of Christ in relation to Himself and the Father, but I am meditating upon what the life of Jesus Christ means to me. And this is a valid area in which we can meditate. If I ever meditate upon Jesus Christ in the presence of God, it says in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, "For Christ entered not into a holy place made with hands, like in pattern to the true, but into the presence of God itself, into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." And the word is literally before the face of God for us. And this is called face bread. Present bread. And Hebrews 9 says, "He's entered not into a holy place made with hands, made in pattern like unto the true, but He's entered into heaven itself now to appear before the face of God for us." And He is there, and I am there in the Beloved. I am accepted in Christ. I am supported by Christ. And here is an abundance of food for this reason. The amount of food that God said in Exodus chapter 16 that each Israelite to eat was an omerful every day. And so if you have Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, here are 12 men representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And so instead of having one omer full in each cake, you get two omers full. You get double the amount for one man, which is telling us that there is an abundance of food in Jesus Christ. He is the bread. Someone says, I never am able to get enough of Jesus Christ. There doesn't seem to be enough of Him. It is simply that you're not eating Him. God has said, these cakes are twice as much as any man can ordinarily eat. Now, one man eats an omer full. These cakes are two omers full. And so here is Christ, our food. And this is what God is teaching us, that we'll never go hungry. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 6, He said, "I am the bread of God." It says, "He that believeth on me shall never hunger." Why? There's so much bread that a man can't eat it all. And the Lord Jesus said, "That is Myself. I am the bread of God. If you believe on me, you will never hunger. You will not hunger. If you trust me as your Savior, you will never thirst." And so God is trying to tell us that there is enough food to last forever, to satisfy any man. We're never going to hunger when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one other thing, and I'm trying to think it through, and I'll just toss this out to you for this reason. There are 12 loaves of bread, and I told you that they represent the people of God. Now, if God had said, "I want you to make 12 cakes with one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour," would you have found anything objectionable to Him? He would say no. That's in harmony with the daily meal offering accompanying the burnt offering. It would have been quite in order. But now, since it's twice that amount, there's no doubt that God is telling us about the plentiful supply of food. The Lord Jesus Christ is the food of God for the people of God. They never went hungry in the wilderness.
And now that the Lord Jesus has gone back to heaven, there's still enough food. They eat it every Sabbath day. There's an abundance of food. But here is the number 12. But there's enough to make 2 loaves times 12. And I thought of this. I said 12. Now there are 12 tribes of Israel, and there are 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll find the number 24 stamped upon the New Jerusalem. Do you realize that? If you look at the gates, you will find the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And if you look at the 12 foundations, you will find the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I see. 12 times 2 is 24. And we have not 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour, but we have 2/10 enough to make 2 loaves, and yet there are 12 loaves. That just came to mind. I wanted you to think about it. But one thing I am sure of is that with this much food, twice as much as a man would ordinarily demand in one day, here is Christ in the plenitude of his being food for the people of God. And so the table is Jesus Christ, the support of the people of God, the food of the people of God, and the one in whom the people of God are accepted and brought into the presence of God. It was the Lord Jesus' purpose when he came to earth, not only to redeem a people, but to present us unto God. And this is fulfilled in this table of showbread. And so let us rejoice in the fullness of the person and the work of Christ. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you for the food that thou dost give us for our soul. We are thankful that any food that shall sustain us is thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful that thou dost bring to our minds that we need never fear about going hungry. We remember that the woman had a handful of meal and a little cruse of oil, but she never went hungry. But thou dost not show us that that is how we are to fare in the spiritual area of feeding on Christ. We have him in an abundance, and we thank you for this. And therefore, Father, let us not be Christians that are spiritually thin, but let us become spiritually fat, because there is abundance of food, and let our hearts be full, because we have fed upon these words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God. Bless us in our consideration of our Lord Jesus Christ as the meal offering. We ask in his name. Amen.